It is time to continue on with Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you on 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville app. It's time to be joined by Teron Davenport, presented by Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. Teron Davenport with ESPN.com, talking with TD, the podcast, joins us every Monday at this time. Teron? Another Mike Vrabel-esque type of win. That we've seen a lot of them against Indy. We've seen a lot of them in general over the last few years. So this team continues to find formulas to be just successful enough, at least against the middle-of-the-road teams in the league. We'll see where it goes from here. But, hey, after an 0-2 hole, you got to like where they are.
Yeah, definitely have to like where they are at 4-2. They're sitting on top of the AFC South, and they have a pretty good lead there with everyone else losing, you know, so it was a good situation for them. But you're right, these wins are, they show up as a W, but my goodness, they're not pretty at all.
Another example of them finding players who weren't there in training camp or were on somebody's practice squad and come in and play a good role. Andrew Adams, I'll be honest, I read the bio, I didn't think much of him. I didn't even realize he had been there for the last couple of games. And then here he is starring in the game, making the biggest play of the game. Why did they find a fit in him, and where and how do they keep doing this? Because this is an important part of the formula.
Yeah, it really is. And he actually had a start a couple weeks ago, and he played solid football. I think it's just cool the way they're able to find these guys. And coincidentally, they signed Terrence Mitchell the same day as Andrew Adams. And Mitchell had the Peanut Tillman punch. You know, he got the fumble. He forced the fumble on Michael Pittman Jr. later in the game to kind of seal the deal. So it's just, they just find ways, man. Like, these coaches are really good about just bringing these guys in, presenting to them what it is that they have to do, and getting them up to speed. And I think when you have veterans in the locker room like Kevin Byard, like Jeffrey Simmons, Imani Hooker, et cetera, it just works. And that's really the formula, in my opinion.
We've now seen David Long make big interceptions in two consecutive games. And we talked about it last week, Teron, or 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, when he made the play against Washington, where it's, if you watch his movement, he's really good. It's not just he's like standing there and the ball comes his way. That's an easy read from the outside. But if you watch closely, yesterday for Matt Ryan, he comes off of his coverage. He's kind of leaning towards Paris Campbell. He realizes Ryan has shifted the other way, so he shifts back, and he makes a big play. He's just a really savvy player.
He's a very savvy player, and the thing that I love, and I actually talked to him about this in the locker room afterwards, because I'm just real big on stuff that you do outside of the game transferring to the game. And if you watch some of the videos that I post pregame, the things that he's doing with the assistant strength and conditioning coach, Brian Bell, he's dropping back and he's weaving and he's breaking on the ball and doing different things. Both of his interceptions, this one yesterday and then the one against the Commanders, they were literally verbatim exactly what he practiced doing. And that's just something that you have to respect, the ability to develop that muscle memory and put yourself in that situation to where it just comes rapid fire and it comes naturally, and that's what he's done. And that dude, I love watching him play because he literally plays like he's on fire. And he's all over the field. He's fun to watch. He's undersized, but he's a classic example of something that I love, and that's that size is not a skill. He plays bigger than his size, and his skill is his heart.
Now, Teron, the offense, moving away from the defense, because I did the defense is each and every week. I think they got it in their minds. And they would probably never say it verbally, but they have it in their minds. They listen, if we're going to win moving forward, it has to be us. We have to do it. We got to make a play some point in the game to stop a drive or interception for a touchdown or fumble recovery. With that being said, this offense, is there any room for true improvement? I'm not saying them adding players and this and that. They can add players all they want to. But as you know, Teron, there's not many players out there on offense for them to go in and get it and turn this offense around. But with what they got, can they improve this offense just enough to where they don't have to count on the defense so much?
Yeah, I think they can. And the thing is, in watching that game, especially the first quarter, they showed some different things to make you say, you know what, they're trying to work some new wrinkles in. You got Chig Okonkwo lining up at fullback and, you know, being a lead blocker for Derrick Henry. And that may seem like nothing, but guess what? You could put him at fullback and you could work play action off of that. You know, that's something that you could do. And then you look at Malik Willis being snuck into the game, not on the botched handoff, but before that. You know, so you're starting to see them try to do things. And then, I mean, you remember we talked on the pregame show, and I let my emotion show about how upset I was that these guys are, you know, these receivers are getting opportunities to go at these DBs who are one-on-one with no safety over top. Well, guess what they did? With Cody Hollister against Stephon Gilmore, they had a 27-yard gain. So I think that's a sign of progress. There's things, a lot of things that they could do and do it better, and I think they're starting to show some of those things, you know, by going at these DBs and just showing some creativity.
Now, the Titans have managed to, whenever a guy has gone down, whether it be for points within the game or they've missed a guy for a game or two, they've always managed to sort of patchwork it and make it work for that particular game or games. If Ryan Tannehill can't go, because he was truly restricted after that ankle injury, and it was almost like when they did pass the ball, it was basically they had to in order to keep Indianapolis honest. Moving forward, if he's still limited or if he can't play, what does that mean for the offense?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the interesting part of it. I think what they'll have to do, a lot of boots and just getting Malik Willis on the move, giving him, you know, half-field reads, high-lows and things like that. You know, I think that's, you know, flooding the zones and stuff. They're going to have to do that with him just to get him into a rhythm and then gradually work him into, you know, the full playbook. But it's obviously different from Willis to Tannehill just from a veteran side of things. And obviously, you know, Willis is a rookie, so you have to scale it back some, and that would limit them. And that would make that Texans game very interesting, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Will, it's going to be interesting moving forward because obviously this is another division game, and if they get this game, they move a little bit further ahead, you know, on Indianapolis.
Teron, did you get any kind of read on Tannehill? I know he came in and did the media post game in the boot. It looked to me like it, you know, Petit Frere fell on his right ankle and kind of turned inward. So I'm concerned about high ankle sprain there, but did you get a read on it at all?
Yeah, he said, so I was in the locker room and he walked by me and he had his shoe off, his right shoe off and left shoe on, and he was just kind of limping with that. But then during the presser, he said that the boot was more or less to take pressure off the foot when he was walking out of the building. He said that he's probably going to ice it and just see what happens there, but I didn't really get a read as far as, like, if it's a high ankle sprain or not. Hopefully it isn't for his sake because, you know, those things are ongoing, and this team is going to have, you know, what, a stretch of 13 straight games, you know, so they have a lot to make sure that he's ready for.
Yeah, they do. And with him not being able to, if he's not able to be as effective, not just, you know, throwing the football, but I think his ability to get outside the pocket. If he can't do that,
yeah,
then what does Downing do as a coordinator? Because to me, he's limited on explosive players. He can only do so much within the offense. Now your quarterback, who's probably your second best player, he might be restricted to just hand it off and dropbacks.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, when you look at that, right, early in the game it was a 3rd and 1. He had an 8-yard gain, you know, and it was like one of those he kind of faked the handoff and then booted out. And I think that's something that goes underrated as far as Tannehill's game's concerned. If you remember last year, he was second only to Jalen Hurts in rushing touchdowns for quarterbacks. He had, I think, like 7 or 8, something like that. So when you look at the red zone and how well they've been in the red zone, a lot of that is because of him and his mobility, because it gives you something else to have to defend. So you take that away, it makes it a lot easier. And as you mentioned, it makes it tougher on Ty Downing, who he's just in a lose-lose situation anyway. They say he doesn't get creative. He gets creative, and then, you know, they tell him it's stupid. And I would hate to be him, but that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, I think he's done pretty well with what he's got. Hey, Teron, thanks a lot. Appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you again here soon.